This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
We have a clip. You want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
All right, we'll go with a little NBA clip of the day today. The Cleveland Cavaliers were swept by the New York Knicks, lost of scores 130-93, 121-108, 109-93, and had a close one there when they were up 20, still lost in overtime. James Harden was, I think, kind of baited into this question because the reporter seemed to think the same thing. Well, James Harden talked about it, Michael. Didn't necessarily think maybe the Cavs were worse than the New York Knicks. Here's the clip. Roll it.
Reflecting on this series, how much better, if they're better, are the Knicks than you guys?
I mean, I can't even answer that question, honestly. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was 4-0, but I don't think we had a chance as far as our best shot. You know, from a standpoint of the circumstances, you know, obviously they dominated us 4-0. But yeah, I don't know if I can necessarily answer that question. Just because genuinely, I do feel like we are the better team. But you know, series wise, you know, it didn't show it. So it's a tough question to answer.
What? What? You know, we feel like we're the better team, but the series would say otherwise. Isn't that what it's supposed to be? I mean, the right answer is we're far off. Joker was asked something similar. He said, hey, we're going home. So, yeah, we're not close. But James Harden, you didn't just get swept, Mike. It'd be one thing if every game was 115-104 in overtime. But it wasn't. You got smoked in every game, and basically from that fourth quarter on in game one, you were annihilated. And the reporter, how much better are the Knicks if they're better? Says, if they're better. Come on. Just leave it alone. You had the chance to say, how much better are the Knicks than you guys? But instead, you got to throw in the little sprinkle there because you don't want James, you don't want the beard to get upset. So if they're better. What do you mean if they're better? You got blitzed in every game.
That question seemed like it came from NewYorkKnicks.com. Like that's not a question I would ask. The question I would ask would be more along the lines of, what do you think you could have done this year
or
in this series to compete better with the
Knicks? Or how far off are you? How far off are you from being able to beat the Knicks next year?
I mean, that's a mean question. I wouldn't be able to answer that question. Like, I'd be like, what? I can understand you guys, like, you know, being attacking and being aggressive, but like, that kind of question.
I don't think so. Like, yeah, just asking how far off are you? I don't think that's a bad question if you were to just leave it at that.
Well, it's like, how much better are they? The wording of it, like, how far off are you? Is one thing. Wording it, how much better they are to you. Like, that's a mean question.
I just thought the cop-out, though, was like, if they're better. What do you mean, if they're better? Like, even if they win all... Mike, even if they win it in seven, they proved that they're better. But you swept them, and you swept them loudly. Eastside Chris says, speaking of Harden, where does he land next year? Yeah, James Harden has a player option next season. So he could pick up his option and make $42 million, or he could decline his player option and become a free agent. I mean, Harden's probably going to skip again. That's what he does. I had real belief that Cleveland could be competitive in this series after game one, after three quarters of game one. Then you hear their coach like say stuff like, you know, we were really good for three quarters. Remember that? We've had that for a clip of the day, too. But we just, you know, got a lot really unlucky. Got really unlucky. Like, things I just don't normally hear a coach say. And then Harden doubles down on that with a, yeah, we're, you know, genuinely, I think we are the better team. You're not. Today, you're not. Yeah, and Texter wants to know if LeBron James is going to go to Cleveland. Can you keep James Harden? Will he pick up his player option knowing LeBron comes in? And does that make this team? Does that put him over the hump? That's how far the Cavs are. Now, the East is bad. The East isn't good compared to the West, obviously. But Cleveland is probably, yeah. Because the Knicks were doing the same thing to every other team. They blew out the Sixers. They blew out the Hawks. I mean, they did lose two games to the Hawks. So one could make the argument that the Hawks are second best team, and maybe not. But Cleveland, they were supposed to be the second best team, and they just got, again, every game was bad. Every game was a monster blowout. And aside from three quarters in that game one, that turned out to be, I mean, they still won. New York still won 115 to 104 and outscored Cleveland mightily in that overtime period. They outscored them 14-3. Cleveland scored 3 points in the overtime again in game one.
If you were asking me to predict the series after game one, I would have predicted that they lost in four games.
That the Cavs would have lost?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, I guess so.
Obviously. I mean, a loss, that's worse than the Avs losing.
That's when you're a 7.5-point favorite and you're up 20, 8 minutes left in the fourth. It's devastating if you lose that. Because it's like, dude, we did everything right up until the 8 minute mark, and then we lost. How do you overcome that? I'm not sure, but that was a strange answer, strange clip of the day.
Yeah, and your coach has got to do a better job than, well, we were really, really great, except for like the last 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Like he should have focused on the problem, which was the last 8 minutes, which was an epic collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just,
yeah.
I don't know if it's the biggest collapse in NBA history, but boy.
That's a big one. Well, the Nuggets had a pretty big one, too, when they were up 20 in Game 7 against the Timberwolves 2 years ago. Or three playoffs ago now. That's a pretty bad one.
What did their coach respond with?
Malone? Pretty sure he was pissed.
Yeah, see, that's the difference. Malone was pissed. This guy was like, well, I mean, peace, love, and we were good at one point.
Yeah, Malone really got tired of the Nuggets. I don't know how he's going to do with college kids. I'm not so sure. I don't know how that's going to work out. But
play only seniors.
If I had to do it all over again and I could stop Josh Kroenke from firing Michael Malone, would I do it? I would say fire one of them. Fire one of them. If there's a rift between the two and it's become toxic, fire one of them.
From what I know, it should be Malone who was fired. As if your GM is drafting guys and saying, these guys are for the team.
Yeah, but Malone's saying you're drafting guys that don't fit my prototype. You know, the guys that I want. I want defensive guys. And you're not really, there's not really defensive guys on this Nuggets roster.
I mean, maybe that's why they were both fired. Because you, as a GM, you have to get players that your coach can and will utilize.
I go back and forth on it. You want to hear a disgusting stat, Michael?
No.
Well, you're going to hear it if I can find it. It's an interesting one. Bleacher Report released an actual stat here from Yahoo Sports is Tom Haberstroh. He created his own stat, Michael, this year. documenting how many times a player over the film to document how many times a player falls down relative to his peers. Looked at, in this particular case, they looked at, he looked at playoff games this season in which there wasn't a foul called on guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and compared, like, so there wasn't a foul called, and compared the data to notable whistle getters like Wimby, Harden, Donovan Mitchell, and Jalen Brunson. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander fell down 20 times on 187 field goal attempts. That's 10.7%. And this is just in which there was no foul called. So there wasn't a foul called. Shea's still going up, trying to draw contact, even though there's no foul called, and falls to the ground. Harden was second at 8.7. Brunson was at 7.9. Mitchell at 7.6. Wimby at 0.6. The results are even more lopsided on plays that ended with foul called. Shea fell down, Mike, 51.4% of the time when a foul was actually called. 10% of the time when a foul wasn't called, 51% of the time when a foul was called. He falls to the ground.
Were these justifiable falls? Or
no,
is it
most
just
of them
like...
probably not. I mean, just, we're talking about like the De'Aaron Fox call. Yeah, he fell to the ground there too. The guy goes up with the intent of getting fouled, not to make a shot.
You're right. This is a disgusting stat. I'm going to go throw up.
It's a disgusting stat. This is the stat that Adam Silver needs to burn into his brain. None of the other four players mentioned eclipsed 30%. Shai, 51.4% of the time when fouled. None of the other players, the Brunsons, the Wimbys, the Hardens, got over 30%. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander ranked second in total numbers of time, number of times falling down on plays without a foul called. Mitchell was atop the list at 26 falls, but it came on nearly twice as many field goal attempts as Shai. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has hit the court 39 times on 224 shots. Now, this was 2 games ago, so it's not taking into account the last 2 games in the Western Conference Finals. But that's 17.4% altogether. He falls to the ground nearly 20% of the time. Harden is a distant second at 11.9%, with Brunson in third at 9.0%, Mitchell in fourth at 8.4%, and Wimby fifth at 4.2%.
But the question is, does he disappear like Harden does in the playoffs?
Shai, no. He does not.
So he at least plays.
Shea's still a good player, and he's mastered the art of getting fouled.
This kind of reminds me of that Texas El Paso study where the Chiefs get all the calls. I feel like this is kind of the NBA's version.
Well, maybe so.
Maybe crowds should start yelling, Adam Silver sucks.
They yell flopper at Shai now. 18 minutes after the hour, let's talk Rockies. They are now alone in the bottom of the basement in Major League Baseball. Spencer Smith, the DNVR Rockies, going to join us next. What did he like about last night's loss to the Dodgers? What didn't he like? And where do we go from here? Still a better season than last year, but they're still the worst team in baseball. So it tells you how bad last season was. We'll be right back.
Golden Knights. The Western Conference Finals are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the old show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Joining me now, Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies. As we, hey Spence, man, we got to 20. We're 10 away. I'm really excited about getting down to single digits here, but you know, win, my friend, win.
Yeah, this this stretch has been a little rough, and I'm honestly shocked that they got to 20. I do my game tweets after every game, and I started to kind of reverse jinx them a bit, and I did that on Friday night, and they ended up winning, which was electric, but I was shocked that they won that one, and I don't foresee them winning another game in L.A. or a game in L.A. after they blew the game last night the way that they did, so it's going to be... They're going to need some home wins here when they come home at the end of this week.
And I love following what you're doing on the tweets, the Colorado, what you're doing with the losses, or when they get the wins, the Wallerado. I love it. Also, you go, hey, what went right? What went wrong? Gritty wins, infuriating losses, all of it, man. You're documenting this team perfectly. The you know what the gross thing is? They're 20 and 35. I don't think they even were in double digits at this time last year, Spencer. So they're much better than last year. However, they're the worst team in baseball again, at least according to their record.
It's a very weird dichotomy of how you want to view this season, because you are correct. Last year at this time, the Rockies were 9 and 45, meaning they were winning 3 out of every 18 games. This year, they're winning 4 out of every 11 games. And so if you want to look at it in the lens of are they getting better, you can comfortably say that they are. If you want to look at it the lens of are they any good, you can comfortably say that they're not.
Yeah, I mean, that's the truth. Maybe, hopefully, is somewhere in between. I'm not real sure how to look at it. But, you know, against the Dodgers, what were they? Was it 3-1? In the bottom of the seventh, and of course the Dodgers just opened it up. I didn't feel confident they were going to hold on to that by any stretch, but you know, the Dodgers will do that to you. They might have games where it just takes a little bit, and then bam, one inning to just light it up, and that's what they did.
Well, yeah, and it was a frustrating chain of events last night, because you have Tanner Gordon going against Emmett Sheehan, Emmett Sheehan's obviously, you know, every Dodgers pitcher is a dog. Ironically, they're seeing Eric Lauer tonight, which is kind of shocking that he even pitches for the Dodgers. But they got to him a little bit early. They scored a couple of runs. Ezekiel Tovar, who has completely turned it around in the past 3 to 4 weeks, hits a home run in the seventh inning to extend their lead to 3-1. The Dodgers bullpen was working on a 38-inning scoreless streak. So he broke that, hit the home run, gets you a 2-run lead. And the kind of the chain of events that happened is everybody feels like they took Tanner Gordon out too early. They took him out after 80 pitches and finishing 5 innings. And then Juan Mejia had a successful 6th inning, but where things started to go wrong is Juan Mejia then came out for the 7th and proceeded to walk 2 guys right away. They get him out of there. Brendan Bernardino comes in and hits a guy right with an 0-2 count, and you're like, there's just every game there's an inning or multiple innings where you're like, this is why we can't have nice things. And they just blow up. And the rest of the game, if you take away the seventh inning from the bottom of the seventh inning from last night, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
And you're just like an innocent bystander. You're like, these two teams are about the same. And then it's the little things that just come back to bite them. I mean, in that seventh inning, they can't turn the double play on Shohei Ohtani, which originally he was called out. They can't turn that double play, and that inning turns into a 4-run inning, which would have been only 1 run and still a 3-2 lead had you been able to turn the double play on Ohtani. So minuscule little things that hurt them, but they are improving. I mean, they are definitely much improved over last year, and you've got some bright spots. Some injury bug is starting to hit them a little bit, which is unfortunate, especially with some of the starting pitching. And then Mickey Moniak, your most powerful OPS hitter, going down. So they're kind of struggling through it right now, but every series, and I've been telling Christian this on the show, every series that the Rockies play is the exact same, every 3-game series. They lose one game close where they probably blow it late, they get blown out in one game, and then they win a game that you think they shouldn't. And I mean, it's uncanny the last 10 series that are 3 games how it's gone this exact same way every single time.
That's amazing. Yeah, I got the schedule pulled up, and it checks out. That is phenomenal. Spencer Smith joining us of DNVR Rockies. All right, so for infuriating losses, you have 10 marked off here. What games like last night, I would imagine, fit that criteria. Talk to our audience here about what exactly fits when it comes to those infuriating losses.
Infuriating losses are something that is pretty much strictly on the bullpen. So last night is one of those infuriating losses where you're watching the game, and through 6 to 7 innings, you're like, oh my gosh, they're going to win this baseball game. And they completely blow it. And it's not necessarily always the bullpen's fault. It could be, you know, some of the fielding or some of the plays that they make that turn into more runs. You know, if they make an error in the third inning and it turns into a 4 or 5 run inning when it should have been none, that can contribute to an infuriating loss. But I will say, regarding the tweets, this year we've changed to a little more positivity, because last season it was infuriating losses and exciting losses. Now we have gritty wins and infuriating losses.
But that right there tells you there's a little more optimism surrounding this team and where to go. Yeah, man, it's you talked about it with the pitching and kind of Warren Schaefer's just not pressing those right buttons, or maybe pressing those buttons a little too soon. But it still feels close. Like, there's just, as you said, a lot of these games we're seeing one inning where, you know, this guy's been left in a little bit too long. We're going to ask him to, after a solid 6, we're going to throw him out there for a 7th, and it blows up in your face, or we pull a guy too soon. It just seems like Schaefer's one step behind or one step too far ahead.
Yeah, and he's been doing a decent job with the roster that he has this year in trying to manage it and manage the players, but it's been, there needs to be some more consistency in my eyes going forward. And I know this whole season is really what I've called it multiple times on our show, is an experimental phase. It's what guys can help you win at Coors Field, what guys in the field can help you be a better defense than they were last year, what guys at the plate can strike out less, take more walks, not chase as many bad pitches. So it's all experimental at this point, but you're right. I mean, when they lose these games, the one game of the series that they don't get blown out, because that'll happen every single series, and that's led them to have, unfortunately at this point, not only the worst record in the MLB, but the worst run differential in the MLB too, because for a while they were in the mid-20s there where, yes, you're not good, but you're definitely improving, and now they're back to the worst run differential. But those close games, if you just change one at bat or get one base hit with runners in scoring position when it seems like you're always struggling to do that, to get the big hit, the game could flip and you could win 2 out of 3 in some of these series, and they're just not able to do it. And I don't know that there's a way to prove this without doing an insane amount of innocuous research, but the Rockies lead the MLB in what I've created of a stat of meaningless hits, meaning they'll get 2 outs in an inning, they'll get a single, another single, have first and third, 2 outs, and not score any runs. Well, you got 2 hits in the inning, and you didn't score any runs. In the Diamondbacks game on Saturday night, they had the leadoff man on or multiple runners on in the first 6 innings, every single inning, and failed to score a single run during that stretch. And that's really the frustrating part, is when you look at all the guys' individual numbers, you're like, wow, we have pretty decent individuals here. You know, nobody's got 20 home runs like Murakami does and for the White Sox or anything like that, but they've got a bunch of decent hitters, and they just never can get the big hit. Guys will get a base hit when they're the leadoff man in the 7th down 7-1, but when the game's 3-1 and there's runners on 2nd and 3rd and 2 outs, that same guy is probably striking out, and that's where these little razor-thin margins have come back to bite them and caused the 20-35 record.
So, Spencer, in your mind, how do you fix something? Like, obviously, we know you gotta hit the ball when it matters, you know, in big moments. I get that, but is that one of those things you can tweak the lineup, whatever, or is it, hey, you just don't have that collection of hitters on this roster?
I think there's something to be said for the roster and the lineup being more consistent as this season goes on. I think that's something that's kind of drove me crazy, is I am a big fan of Warren Schaefer, and I've supported him publicly, you know, on Twitter, I guess, if you could call it, since he got the job last year, and I was fully in support of him keeping the job and removing that interim tag this year. But I do get frustrated at his lineups and the fact that you've got a different lineup almost every single night. And yes, there's been some injuries, and they very much have platoon lineups. You'll see tonight, I mean, Brenton Doyle and Jordan Beck are both hurt. There's some guys that have mysteriously gone on the IL the past couple of weeks that it was more due to performance than injury, but they didn't say that explicitly, so I'm just reading the tea leaves there. But you'll have a left-handed lineup for the Rockies where they go heavy lefts with the Johnstons and the TJ Rumfields and the Edward Julians against righties, and then they go against a lefty, and it's Brenton Doyle, Jordan Beck when they're healthy, and you kind of have literally two different lineups. But then in between, these guys are just – some guys are hitting eighth, and then they're hitting – the next day they're leading off. Like Jake McCarthy is a perfect example of that. Some days TJ Rumfield's in the three spot, some days he's in the five spot. So it's really been inconsistent on where guys are hitting. I mean, you have Tyler Freeman, who is a really good just contact guy. He's not going to explode and have any sort of power whatsoever. And some nights he's hitting cleanup. And yes, it's not the old school baseball where your biggest power hitter hits fourth in the lineup, but when you just play teams like we did in the Diamondbacks the past four games before last night, the same five guys hit 1 through 5 in their lineup every single night. And I think the Rockies had a different 1 through 5 every single night through those same four games. So I want to see a little more consistency in the lineup, but I think due to the experimental phase that they're in, it doesn't allow you to say, okay, well, this guy's hot, but this guy's been on the bench and we need to see if he's going to be part of our future, so we got to get him in the lineup when a guy that's maybe hitting better is going to have to sit for the night, you know? So it's a weird place that they're in, trying to figure out who is going to be on this roster moving forward, who they can count on to actually start winning baseball games, and finding out, you know, or just playing the best guys and playing the guys that are hitting the best and trying to give yourself the best shot to win every single night.
Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies. All right, Dirty 30 Challenge. We're, like we said, we're at 20. We need 10 more. How has that shifted based on what we've seen the last week since we had John last?
I want to say it's pushing back a little bit, but when I looked at the schedule from when we talked last week, I didn't expect them to win many games against the Diamondbacks in Arizona or the Dodgers in L.A. Now, if they somehow win tonight or win tomorrow against the Dodgers and tomorrow, a heck of a pitching matchup, clash of the Japanese Titans and Shohei Ohtani and Tomoyuki Sugano, which will be a fun watch. But if they win one of these next two games and go 2-5 on this road trip, that's honestly better than I thought they would have done. So I still think we're looking at, I mean, the Brewers have been great. They have the Cubs at home. They go to the Athletics, and they go to the Cubs mid-June. There's still that homestand middle of June against the Pirates and the Red Sox. And I think I maybe told you we'd be around June 24th. I know you were hoping kind of maybe, what, the 19th is your birthday or the 18th?
Yeah,
or something like
17th.
That.
Yeah, right around there, either way.
Well, I will tell you this. If the Cubs continue to play the baseball that they've been playing, the Rockies have 6 of 9 games in between June 10th and June 17th against the Cubs. And the Cubs have lost 9 in a row, and they're absolutely scuffling. They've had 2 10-game winning streaks this season and 1 9-game losing streak. So they're a roller coaster. If the Rockies get this Cubs team, they could win 5 out of those 6 and be done right on your birthday.
You've been kind of consistent the last couple of weeks, right around there, right around that Pittsburgh series, maybe a little before, maybe a little after. So I've been kind of pinpointing that one. We'll see if it checks out, man. We'll see if your aim is true.
Yeah, and when the Reds, I mean, no later than, I'm giving a drop dead, and I'm going to stick with this through our calls, hopefully. The 24th of June against the Red Sox, when the Red Sox are in town, that is your ultimate. You can set that appointment for Friday the 26th or Thursday the 25th.
It's still another month. It's still another month, but
you know. Yeah, it feels like a long time.
You know what you signed up for.
This morning. So.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, I did. I was having, it was not good. And I don't need to tell you, you're dealing with it too. But
it's not
like,
good.
I got to get this cut off.
It's getting pretty unruly, I'll tell you that. Spencer, my man, what are you working on that we can check out from DNVR Rockies here in the next couple days?
So we've got actually we'll be having a live show from Coors Field and the new speakeasy here coming up in the next week or so. We've got a live show tomorrow at noon with the Memorial Day holiday. We push from Monday to Wednesday, but a live show on YouTube. You can check us out, DNVR_Rockies or DNVR_sports. Live show at noon on both Wednesday and Friday this week. And then we'll be doing a show in the next couple of weeks from the new speakeasy 1913 at Coors Field, private kind of membership only place that Coors Field built and the Rockies built this year and made into a really cool spot for people to go in, have drinks, and then our hope is during that show we get a few players to come on and talk to us a little bit about how the season is going and how they're feeling in Colorado if it's a newer guy. So it should be awesome, and you can always check any of that out on YouTube.
All right, my friend. I love it. Great work as always, and we'll look to catch up with you next week.
Awesome, Brady. Thanks so much, man. Let's get you to 23 in a week.
Let's get there.
Let's do that.
Let's get, yeah. Yeah, once we get into single digits, you know, it just becomes a reality. And this will get three more. Yeah, man. Easy breezy from that point on.
Jordan week by the time I talk to you next week.
I like it. I like it, man. Spencer, appreciate you as always, my friend. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Brady. Take care.
All right. Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies. He's flirting. He's given the kill date June 24th, but he keeps throwing that Pittsburgh series around, which is the ninth, Friday, June 19th through Sunday, June 21st. So I'm holding on to hope there. It'd be after the birthday, but that's fine because it'd still be the weekend. Not that that matters. I don't, just something in my mind helps me make sense of it.
So I think you're definitely going to want them to be better than 3-7 every 10 games. You're going to want some 4-6s in there.
If they could steal one of these from the Dodgers.
Well, they will.
Yeah.
They lost a close one
tonight. So
now they're going to get blown out. And then they're going to win.
Win tomorrow night. Yeah, I like that. Steal one against San Fran. Sweep Los Angeles.
You want them, get blown out tonight because we have the Avalanche.
That's a good point, Michael. We want to have a good one for you on Wednesday night. All right, 40 minutes after the hour. Mike, let's take a quick break. Get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
That riff right there is awesome. The song is... But that riff is great.
It's a good intro.
Song's okay. Pretty good song, though, right? We good with the song? 6 out of 10?
Yeah, until he starts singing.
Really? I think it's a good one.
I guess I don't care about Jack or Diane.
I have that song in my head all the time for some reason. Maybe that's why it's kind of average to me, because it's just locked in my brain and I've heard it so many times. Maybe that's what's wrong with me. That song just plays in my head all the time.
Maybe I should play you some music from my goth metal.
Speaking of goth and obviously curses, do you think the President's Trophy is cursed, Michael? Do you believe in that kind of thing?
No, but I am oddly superstitious. Even though I don't believe in it, I still am.
That's weird what you said.
Like I just like have a thing where I cannot have, if the Broncos are playing the Chiefs, I cannot drink anything red that day because
you can't drink blood at your
vampire parties. And I know that
doesn't
make any sense.
Yeah, you don't make any sense.
I make all the sense in the world.
The Panthers were the last President's Trophy team to be down 3-0 in a best of seven series in the 2022 second round. They were swept by the Lightning. The Avalanche are the seventh President's Trophy winning team to be down 3-0 since 1985-86. Only eight President's Trophies winners have gone on to win the Stanley Cup in the same season since the trophy was introduced in the 85-86 season. Edmonton in 86, Calgary in 88, New York Rangers in 93, the Stars in 98. The Avs did it, Mike, in 2000 and 2001. Then Detroit did it twice. They did it 2001 to 2002 and 2007 to 2008. And then the Chicago Blackhawks. Only four teams in NHL history have come back from being down 3-0 to ultimately win the series. That's just in history in the Stanley Cup final, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Mike. But not very often are you down 3-0 in the conference finals and come back.
Maybe they should just change it to Prime Minister's Trophy.
If it's really a curse, do you kind of just want to be like, hey, let's just lose two more? You know, I don't know. I mean, there is something to be said with all sports that do this, though. New England Patriots, they had an undefeated season, lost the Super Bowl. Golden State Warriors broke the Bulls' 72-win record, did not win a championship. Those are just a few examples. It's tough. It's tough to maintain absolute greatness from regular season game one all the way through.
Especially in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And another parallel is the top seed in the NFL used to, like, for years could not win the Super Bowl. I think it's happened recently, but for years it was just they could not win the Super Bowl.
It's difficult, and that's where the case can be made to keep Jared Bednar, because, you know, should you be judged solely on winning a championship, or should there be other things taken into account? 48 minutes after the hour, what do we learn? And the picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. However, I won't throw a pick at you today. We'll be right back.
The Avalanche in the playoffs is no small thing. Just how far will they go? Hear Avs games and coverage on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I was wondering where you're going to go with that, because you had two options. You could either go with the What Did We Learn, or you could go with the picks music, Mike.
We didn't learn anything.
You chose poorly. That's all I'm going to say. That was a test, and...
Should I start over?
No, we don't have enough time.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Mike. The picks are on Friday.
Yes, they are.
Mike, who knows it? Who knows it, Mike? Who knows the picks are on Friday?
Most of us.
Everybody knows it. However, it's Tuesday, and the Avs could be done tonight. Nathan McKinnon's going to play, but... Val's a game-time decision, maybe? Going to go with Blackwood? I think the change at goalie will be interesting. It's been interesting all series when it's happened. Are you sticking with it? Sticking with the Avs being done tonight? It's getting swept? You sticking with it, Mike?
Yeah, I'll be listening to more goth music tonight.
I think they show something. They show some fight, and they live to play one more game. The Nathan McKinnon thing changes, and I get it. But I also think injured, he's going to have his Michael Jordan game, flu game. He's going to save the Avs and keep them alive one more night. Avs are going to win tonight. We'll see what happens next. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.